If you'll recall last week's gospel, last Sunday, it was the gospel about the persistent widow and the unjust judge who's afraid that she will come and give him a black eye. And there we learned about the importance for the need for persistence in prayer. And the Lord asks at the end of the narrative, when he returns to judge the living and the dead, will he find any faith on earth? Meaning, will he find anyone persisting in such prayer? Today we have a very different look at prayer, but one that's nevertheless as important, perhaps in a certain way more even foundational, primordial to last week's gospel, and that regards the right disposition in which we pray. But to start, consider for a moment if we took 10 practicing Catholics and asked them about their personal habits of prayer. You would probably get 10 different answers, or you could get 10 different answers. Some people might tell you that they like their devotionals. They like to pray the rosary or the Divine Mercy Chaplet. That's kind of their go-to. Others prefer a more elevated form of prayer, which is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, which we're blessed to be able to do here 24/7, except for when Mass is being offered. There are those who like to do Lectio Divina, which is simply opening the Word of God and just taking even one or two verses and breathing in the Spirit as it instructs the heart in those precious moments of reading. Others like to pray in silence. Others can pray in the midst of a busy environment. Some like to walk, some like to sit, others like to kneel. You'll get all kinds of different answers. But one thing that they should all have in common, regardless of the prayer style that they prefer, is the right disposition in entering into prayer. And here, the Lord presents us with this parable of the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector. They're both similar men in a way, but as we find out from the narrative, they're also very different. Let's have a look. First, in regards to public opinion, these two men could not be more polar opposite. The Pharisee was considered part of the religious elite. These persons were considered by most of the Jews to have a special inside track to heaven. They were considered to be those who knew the law, who lived the law to every single prescription. They were regarded, at least by most, to live very, very morally upright lives. If any of you have watched the series The Chosen, you'll even see this depicted somewhat accurately, that when the Pharisees would wander through the streets, even in groups of two, the common Jew would simply stop and almost bow as if they were royalty. And in a certain way, many of the Jews considered them to be as if royalty. So in popular esteem, the Pharisees are way up here, but could not be more polar opposite than the tax collector, the publican. Now, while both men are wealthy, materially speaking, and could perhaps pray from a level of self-sufficiency because they've kind of got it made, at least as far as the world is concerned, in the public eye, the tax collector, was considered to be vermin, scum, lower than dirt. Why? Because the tax collector was generally a collaborator with the occupying Roman forces, exacting enormous sums of money, not only for themselves, but for the chief tax collector, we know of one named Zacchaeus, personally enriching themselves off the backs of their fellow Jews. They were traitors and hated. So when the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector, go into the temple, Luke notes here that the tax collector took up his position. What that means, literally, is that there was actually a special place designated for the Pharisees to pray, and no one else could pray there. Okay, the rest of humanity, okay, off you go. All right, this reminds me of when I was first celebrating Mass as a newly ordained priest. My sister used to joke that if she came to my Mass, she would try to sit in my chair in the sanctuary. She says, "I don't see your name on it." Okay, just to sort of put me down a few notches. So the Pharisee has his special place. Now listen to how he prays, okay? Listen to how he prays. It says here that he spoke this prayer to himself. Now, there's a double meaning here. When you speak to yourself, you're murmuring to yourself, or you sort of say under your breath. But there's even a more pernicious meaning here. When he's praying to himself, he's not praying to God. In other words, he's his own God. You see the double meaning? It's not just that he's murmuring to himself. He's actually praying to himself. This can be a trap any of us can fall into. And he says this to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. So he prays, not praising God, but praising himself, all the while holding contempt for the man standing next to him. Now, wow, that's pretty presumptuous way to pray. Okay. And then he likes to present God with the resume. Here we go. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. Very transactional. Here, Lord, is all that I have done, maybe even for you. This is why I am righteous, which means in biblical language, savable. In theology, we use the word justification. In biblical language, it's righteousness. It means someone who is savable. So you see, his entire way of praying is completely perverted. We're not even sure if he's praying to God. And if he is, it is completely transactional and disdainful of others who are also trying to connect with God, all the while praising himself. Now we get to the tax collector, the publican. He stands off at a distance. He knows that he does not belong in the same human circle as the Pharisee, at least in human estimation. And he will not even raise his eyes to heaven. He knows the truth about himself. He beats his breast like we do at the Kyrie. And he says simply, no resume, no disdain, simple acknowledgement about the truth about himself in his head and acceptance in the heart. This is the core of humility. He says, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He is completely attuned to the reality about himself. He knows who he is in front of God. Now, the Jews are happy to tell him he's a sinner. And in fact, in many places, tax collectors couldn't even enter into holy places because they were not ritually pure to do so. But he acknowledges in his head and accepts in the heart the truth about who he is before God. I would argue that this is the precise way we should begin all of our prayer. No matter what's on our heart, just to say, good morning, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, why? Well, in the world of the self-help, this is not good for your self-esteem. I know. Deepak Chopra, Oprah, not in favor of what I'm about to say. That's okay. Okay, Deepak and Oprah will come and go, and we will still be here preaching the same truth. Why? Well, why is this possible for us to say this? Not only because it's the truth, but because we're justified, savable, made righteous, not because of our own merits, like the Pharisee thinks that he is accomplished, but by the merits of the Lord on the cross. The cross is our calling card. The cross is our resume. And if the more we're tuned into that reality, the more sincere and honest our prayer can be. It's not about self-deprecation, as it really is about telling the truth about who we are. And it is only when we arrive at prayer with a spirit of humility, then we are now properly disposed to even ask. Because we acknowledge that he is God and I am not. He is creator and I am creature. I am a sinner. He's the savior. My entire life is contingent on his. And this is why the publican, the tax collector, goes away justified, savable, and the Pharisee does not. We ought to pray today and always for the right disposition when we pray, that we're not simply going through the motions formulaically, just going through the things that please us to accomplish the work of prayer, but to spend at least a few moments before we even begin to acknowledge the truth about ourselves so that God can work his grace in each of us and save us forever. May he be praised both now and forever. Amen.